Yo, what up? This your boy DJ Knowledge God. It's 2022 and you still ugly. Ha ha!
This knowledge. Let's talk about it. Talk. It's let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Shit, this is episode
What's good, everybody? This your boy, Knowledge God.
This is Queen. What's good, everybody?
And this another episode of Let's Talk About It. I didn't look to see what number this is, but we're not even about to do the numbers no more. It's the new year. That's our second episode of the year. So we're going to keep it going like that. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate everybody still tuning in. I know we've been, you know, in and out. Really ain't consistent, but we about to try to get that together. And we definitely are about to be on YouTube soon. As far as visuals, so everybody be ready for that, because that's coming real soon. We got everything that we need. She just wasn't ready today because she wasn't trying to get dressed and shit, so we gonna do it like this today. But next episode,
it wasn't that I didn't
want to
get dressed. My hair is not done.
Oh yeah, well, her hair is not done, so yeah, I guess after this episode we can go ahead and, you know what I mean, go live or whatever. We wanted to talk to y'all about what my wife wanted to share with y'all, her upbringing, you know what I'm saying? But before we discuss that, we wanted to talk a little bit about, I think this was what, the other day we was, I don't even know what exactly we was, what we was talking about that led up to this conversation, but we was basically talking about how, you know what I'm saying, we came up one way and then say you run into a little bit of money, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you're going to make sure you and your family good, but that don't mean you have to stop. You know, I'm not saying that if you was on some ghetto shit, of course, as you grow up, you know, you're going to grow out of that. So that's not what I'm saying. Money or not, you know what I'm saying? You're going to grow out of that, you know, most of the time. But what I'm basically saying is, I'm like me today. I hit the lottery. Bam, I get, you know what I'm saying? I get rich or whatever. Now all of a sudden I'm eating fucking caviar and goddamn, you know what I mean? I done shut out all my black friends and I'm just on some weird shit. Like, you know what I mean? Dressed different now. Not to saying not dressing better, but just on some shit that I know ain't me for real. You know what I'm saying? And not being able to act like who you are, like not being able to act like yourself, especially when you around those other so-called rich motherfuckers. And that's what really be the problem, is when you can't be yourself around, you know, your rich friends, whatever. But then when you get on, you know what I'm saying, around other people who you done possibly grew up with or the ones that you did decide to keep around, you were able to let loose and be yourself. You should be able to be yourself regardless. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, that shit.
But
shit
my take on it is, I feel like, okay, for a prime example, if we were to become millionaires or just have a different living lifestyle than what we have now, I don't feel like I would change anything because I am who I am.
Right.
and my friends are who they are, I'm not going to feel like, oh, well, now that we're making this significant amount of money or we have this or we have that, let me look for me a better circle of friends.
Right, like these people ain't worthy no more.
Yeah, like they're not good enough, you know. And that's what I noticed. And hell, people act like that when they get income tax money. It ain't been a couple thousand.
It ain't got to be
like
necessarily
they get brand
rich.
New.
Right, yeah, that shit be funny
as hell. They get brand new. Like, hey, pump your brakes.
Because that shit'll be gone in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, like, and that just goes to show you that money has so much of a huge influence over everybody as human beings.
Yeah, it does.
It really, truly does. It can take somebody's whole personality and they can do a whole 360 in a matter of no time at all.
Yeah, boy, that green piece of paper, a bad boy, man.
Yeah.
It is a bad motherfucker.
Yes, it truly is. It truly is. And you know, it makes people feel like they got power. It makes people feel like they're better than other people. They look down upon other people that's not as fortunate as they are. And that's the part that I feel like irritates me the most, because once upon a time, this was you.
Right. Especially the ones who
remain
once upon
humble,
a time. Yeah.
Remain the same. This was you once upon a time, and it might not be the actual same position that person is in and what they've been through, but they know that they was once too in a place where they wasn't financially well off.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're in that position, why look down upon somebody else that's not in that same position that you're in and belittle them or look down on them like they're not worthy? You know, that's the part I don't be getting. People keep their noses up in the air when they done got a little couple dollars in their pocket.
And then what be funny is if they ever fall off, look where they try to go back to. You feel me? You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And be mad when the community don't accept them no more. Or if they do, they'd be happy. But then as soon as they get some money again and shit, they'd be right back on some bullshit. I don't know, man. That shit just weird, man.
It's very, very weird.
I don't understand why it does that much. I mean,
and I'm not saying that you, and me personally, I'm not saying when a person come up, they don't have to help everybody if that's what they choose to do.
Right.
Because, you know, you do get a lot of people wanting handouts and stuff, you know. Once somebody in their family or a friend or whoever it is, you know, done went to another level. You get, you know, people, can I get this? Can I get that? And, I mean, of course, it's your choice if you want to help somebody. But what I'm saying is don't get to that level. And then now you're better than this person. Or, you know, now you Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two Shoes all of a sudden. That's the part that irritates me.
Right.
Remain the same.
Yeah. Why? You know?
Be who you are.
I mean, but shit, that's basically what money does, too. It exposes who you really are. Because a lot of times people try to move a certain way because they feel like they got to. Because they don't have no money type shit. And they probably dependent on a certain situation or a certain person. And it'll make them move a certain whole way. But if they had money, that'll really let you know
mm-hmm.
how they are. So if
and
you
some of them probably feel like, man, if I really had money, I wouldn't even hang with you.
Type shit, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't even be my friend. So it's basically like the friendship wasn't real in the first place, because if it was really real, whether you got $5 in your pocket or you got $100,000, that friendship shouldn't change.
Yeah, nah, it shouldn't. That should be crazy. Yeah, man, that shit a little wild.
It's just like, okay, prime example. For me, I'm not no big drinker. But when I do choose to have a drink, everybody that knows me knows I like to drink Hennessy when I do want to drink.
Right.
So, I'm going to remain drinking Hennessy. That's what I choose. So, it doesn't matter if I got $100 in our savings or if we got $100,000. If that's what I'm choosing to drink, that's what I choose to drink. I'm not going to turn around, oh, no, I need the most expensive. I need...
Right, you know, we don't even know the names or some of that shit. We don't give a fuck about it, but...
Yeah, whatever the name of it is.
Right, I need...
I know one of them that's high, 1738. I know that is the more expensive
types. Yeah.
So I'm just going to use that as an example. Oh, no, we got this man. Forget the Hennessy. I want the 1738. No, because I don't even drink this. Now, I'm trying to show out. That's showing off.
Or some motherfuckers will take it a step further. I'm too good for liquor. I only drink champagne. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Little dumb shit like that. Where that Bel Air at? Or where, you know what I'm saying? Where that, you know, type shit. Yes, that shit. Get your ass out of here. You know what I'm saying? You was just drinking Seagram's gin. Nigga, now you want some Bel Air. Like, get your ass out of here. I mean,
ain't nothing wrong with, you know, if you done come up and, you know, you want to try something different. That's
but
fine.
Don't try to put down the people that still, that still drinking the Seagram's,
like,
or whatever the case may be.
Why you drinking Hennessy?
Nigga, you was just drinking this last week.
Right. They gonna be looking at me like, girl, why you just had a Hennessy and some Coke?
Right. Tripping. That shit funny, man. That shit be funny as hell. Or let's talk about how, you know, just how they be asking, man. Like, I have people in the family that, you know what I'm saying, that I guess they doing a little better off or whatever. Mm-hmm. Them niggas don't act the same no more. And it be kind of pissing me off. Like, man, what's up, man? Quit being weird and shit. Like, it's just,
because a lot
of
people
know,
at Hollywood
just,
now.
That
they
shit is weird as fuck, man. I be like, man.
People
remember
be
when?
Acting too Hollywood. And you, babe, you gotta realize this too. That now that there is platforms like Facebook and such, people is really trying to live these artificial lives.
Right.
They really are. And it's now taken over so much to the point where now they can't separate fake and reality. They can't separate it. So even if they try to portray themselves one way on, let's just per se, Facebook, mm-hmm. they're out here really trying to live their lives like this fairy tale that they done made up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what, whether you got whatever you got, that's what irritates me most. Because it makes me look at people like, you are for sure a weirdo. Quit. Be who you are. That makes me not want to be around people.
Right. And on the
and then we, I think we get looked at crazy because we're goofy, we're clowning, we're just being us. Everybody else is so motherfucking uptight. And
right, yeah. Act like
looking all, oh my God, what are they doing?
Right,
what
I can't believe
what you mean.
Right,
we're
like
kicking
shit,
it.
Right.
Like, we're being real human beings. We're not acting like fake ass Hollywood robots. Like, yeah, come on.
It. And it don't feel good. It can't feel good because as soon as a motherfucker get a chance to be on some, you know what I mean, on how they really are, they'll do that shit. And you can look at them and tell that it felt good. Like, mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, damn, it felt good to eat a piece of cake.
Right, all right.
I didn't have to perk. I sat and I ate a piece. Shit, I even farted.
Hey, motherfuckers be not wanting to eat because they feel like it's too much. You got all these snacks and shit. I just have a salad and some water. Looking, motherfucker, like, nah, man, eat. Like, I got to watch my weight.
Then when ain't nobody looking, they probably going to scarf about 10
right.
chicken wings down.
Had their jaws full as fuck. Like, man, just enjoy your goddamn self. Like,
yes, a lot of people, I'm telling you, babe, hey, for real.
They get caught.
Living in that artificial shit. Hey,
motherfucker get caught making excuse quick. I'm just go to the gym. I just know I got to go to the gym tomorrow. Extra hard. Extra early. Work this off. Like, man. Dude, just
live
be right. Like, it's cool, man. Fucking, you ain't gonna have no goddamn beard belly when you wake up tomorrow. Your shit's still gonna be flat. I'm fucking like, ah, leave.
That is funny,
that
though.
Shit be
sorry.
Weird as hell, man. Like, you gonna go from, you already only 100 pounds. You gonna go from that to
Lord.
200 in one day just from eating an extra cupcake
and
shit.
And they probably looking at me like, damn, she get to be normal. I can't.
Right. Bitch. Hey, be bad as fuck.
Hey, because Queen ain't switching up. I'm not switching up for nothing. And nobody, I don't care how much money we got. I feel like my personality, I have the A1 personality. I don't care what nobody say. I get along with everybody. I got a bubbly personality. Even though everybody laughs about how I sound.
Yeah. Even you.
I do. When I hear certain things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am who I am.
That's shit you supposed to be. You know, that's how, man, I don't know. That be the real shit, but a lot of the people that do switch up, you know, you already get fake vibes from them anyway. I know I have certain folks that mm-hmm. I done seen on both ends.
Yeah.
Even when we was fucked up, you still used to be on some, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. a nigga would kind of already know, bro. You ever get some money, you gonna shut me out and you just gonna be on your shit. Are you gonna mm-hmm. do this and you know what I'm saying? Are you gonna be this way? Because you already see that shit.
But you know what, babe, though? To be always one thou wow, I think a lot of those people, I'm not gonna say all, but I can just about guarantee 90% of them are suffering mm-hmm. on the inside. They're yeah. suffering for the simple fact that they can't be who they want to be.
Right. That's the worst shit in the world, I feel like.
When you walking around in this world and you feel like you can't be who you really want to be, you can't act how you really want to act, you can't eat what you really want to eat, and everything else, that has to be miserable at the end of the day.
Man. Fuck you telling. That shit crazy.
That has to be so freaking miserable to feel like you have to live this certain way, this certain lifestyle because of whatever the title of your job is or whatever is going on in your life that you feel like you can't be who you want to be. That has to be miserable. If that's what it takes to be rich, then I'd rather not be rich.
Man, because in a lot of ways, it seems like the richer you are, the more you got to be like that. It ain't too many real rich motherfuckers that really get to be how they want to be and really outspoken and all that shit.
And you know, it's some people, prime example, that's why I love Boosie so much.
Yeah,
Boosie. Because he don't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck.
Boosie's who he is.
Yeah, you right about that.
He's who he is. He don't got no filter, and it ain't about him, the stuff he be saying or none of that. It's the fact that he is pure.
He ain't afraid to be who he, you know, who he
yes,
be.
He's pure. Yeah. He's not afraid to be who he is. He's not afraid to say how he feels or none of that.
He ain't afraid of that cancel culture shit. None of that
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, he's not scared of none of that. Yeah. And I love the fact that he shows all sides of him. He shows the interaction with his kids. And it ain't that they're perfect because he's done showing his kids done been cutting up when he done had to chastise his kids.
Right, yeah.
You know, most of these stars, they're never going to even let nobody even record them even slightly raising their voice at their kids. That's being fake. Because kids is going to be kids. I don't care if they're stars or not.
Right.
They're going to act up. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. But they won't even let nobody, they're not even going to be spotted even raising their voice or
none of that shit.
Saying stop yeah. or none of that stuff because they're so afraid of what somebody else is going to say about their parenting skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's different, man. Also, this is off the subject. You know what I'm saying? I want to give a shout out to the Brown and Harris family. Just went to one of my big mama's funerals, man. That shit, like I said, it hit different because she was like the neighborhood grandma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she lived a good life, though. I'm not for sure how old she was, but she was past 70, like she probably in her 80s or some shit like that. So I feel like she lived a good life. She was just, you know, she was good people. You know what I mean? I feel like, and this is what I told Joe, even though me and him grew up together, like, you know, as kids, I felt like that it helped more with me knowing who his grandma was, his mom, his auntie, mm-hmm. like, up to the point where we can be out somewhere and they can, what's up, Fred? Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of my friends, even ones I done grew up with, I don't even know their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Look at J-Ro, for instance. I've been knowing J-Ro forever. I don't know Fred and, you know, whatever the hell his mama name is. I don't know them. They can't look at me and be like, what's up, Fred? The right. Motherfuckers don't know me. You know what I mean? Just shit like that. A lot of my niggas, you know what I'm saying? The only ones whose whole families I know is Jovan today. The only ones, for real. Everybody else, I don't be, I don't, some of them, I don't even know their parents. Like, nigga, I don't even know your parents. I've been knowing you for 30 years, 25 years type of shit. I don't even know who the fuck your people is. And they see me all the goddamn time. So, you know, that shit meant something to our friendship because it made it more on some family shit. Mm-hmm. Family barber. These motherfuckers, you know, used to cook me shit, like call me, like I got, you know what I mean? Just little shit like that, man. So I ain't gonna.
Yeah, it does. It does mean a lot.
Yeah,
it does. To take that time out to not only have a friendship with that person, but to also get to know their family as well. So that's how I feel. I got quite a few friends that I know their whole families too.
Yeah.
I'm just not only just their friend. They consider me actual family now, you know, because we did grow up together and I know everybody and even their siblings as well, you know. No, we might not have the bond that me and my actual friend have, but I still know their siblings too. So, you know, it's still a little relationship there, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then shit, me and Joe had a bonus because our moms was good friends. Like, well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was the bonus shot right there. Shit, like, they the ones who really brought us together, I guess you can say that. I mean, shit, I would have met Joe regardless. He's right around the corner. I'm pretty, you know what I mean? I would have met him before I would have even known he was Auntie Faye's son. Like, so, I don't know. But yeah, man, we gonna go ahead and pay these bills real quick, and we gonna come back, and I'm gonna talk to you about your upbringing. Since we talking about upbringings and all that, man, we're going to discuss that. I know I done talked about mine. We never really talked about yours on here.
Yeah, so. We done said a few things, but not really, you know.
Deep in detail about it. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that. But it's your boy, Knowledge God.
This is Queen.
Let's talk about it. We'll be right back. What's good? We are back. We are back.
Everybody.
You ain't trying to be like me. Y'all here trying to be like me.
Ain't nobody trying to be like me.
Just because I did the bad.
You
ain't
trying to be like me.
Nah, just because I did that. You could have said it regular and shit. Like, she want to try to do it like I did.
Ain't nobody trying to do it like you.
She
do
did.
And if I was, so what?
Damn. What you trying to match my energy? Like, what are you doing? I'm just fucking with you, baby.
I know you is.
All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead and get into this, man, with your crazy ass.
Man, you ugly.
You ugly. Damn. Why I got to be ugly? Funny looking?
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, babe, how you want to start? How far back you want to start from? Shit, let's take it back as far as you can remember. I don't want to spoil anything, so I mean, you know, I'm gonna let you say whatever, you know what I'm saying, but I don't even know where to start at, because it's so much. Like, I don't know, just start where you want to start at. I just put it like that, but just take it as early as you can.
Well, I guess I can start from probably about the age of 5, I think.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I know, when I was 5, I lived with my grandma.
First off, before we start off like that, let me start off like this. How many siblings do you have? I'm talking to you as if I don't know. For the ones listening.
Well, I have a sister and a brother.
I have a sister and brother.
Yeah, I'm the oldest, and then my brother, then my sister.
Okay. Did you guys grow up together?
We started out together.
Started out together.
And then we all lived in separate homes. So.
Okay. So when did y'all separate?
I had to be. I think I might have been about. I was probably about
11. 11? Okay, so that's probably moving ahead too far. Let's take it back to 5. It was you, your brother, and your sister. You was the oldest one. let's take it from there. How was the upbringing? You know what I'm saying?
Well, we had, I feel like we had a good life, you know, when I was younger. Me personally, I've always been attached to my grandma. So, I never really wanted to go home. I always wanted to be with my grandma all the time.
How was it at home?
It was okay. It was, it, I feel like it was okay, but I feel like, even when I can remember back when I was little, I didn't get the feeling of the attention that I felt like I did from my grandma.
Right.
I didn't get it at home. Because, see, at home, I'm the oldest.
Right.
So, a lot of things was put on me as being the oldest sibling.
Right.
Versus when I was at my grandma's, I'm the baby there.
Okay.
So, that's a big difference when you think about it. When you're at home, you're the oldest. So, a lot falls on you when you're the oldest sibling. But then when I would go to my grandma's, I'm the baby there. Because they're all older than me. All my cousins and stuff was older than me, and I was the baby. So I feel like I got more attention from my grandma. And I felt more love from her.
Okay.
I felt more love. I felt more a more of a sense of security that no harm was going to come my way. Because, see, at home, my mom and my sister's dad, they would argue a lot and fight, fist fight.
Okay.
And none of that was happening at my grandma's house.
Right.
Yeah, none of that was going on. And so I wanted to live with my grandma. That's where I wanted to be, you know, and I feel like when I experienced my first feeling of feeling like I was heartbroken was when I was made to go home. And I did not want to go, but I was made, my mom made me come home. And I think I kind of, for a while, I held a grudge against my mom for making me come home because I had no understanding why. I'm being well taken care of. I'm happy. Why make me come back? Like, why make me be here? You know, that's how I was feeling. And it made me feel like I didn't like my mom.
Damn. So, if you felt that deep about it, what was going on at home that made you... It made it so much better at your grandparents' house to where you was...
You already asked me that because they were fighting.
So that was... Okay.
Yes, okay. Fighting and...
Yeah.
Okay. Arguing. Yeah, when you're... If you know you're somewhere and you're at it's peaceful versus being somewhere that is not, even as a child, you can pick up to say, this is where I want to be. I want to be over here.
Right.
Because it's peaceful. I'm getting attention. I'm getting love properly, like I'm supposed to. And then when you go back over here, this is happening. That's a totally, two totally different households, you know.
Right. Well, shit.
I mean, because what? Of course, I'm not understanding this as I'm a child at the time. But my mom became a young mother.
Right.
Very young. So, she's, you know, wanting to, of course she was working a job, you know, they was both working, but she wanted a party.
Right.
And I think that that could have been a lot of the conflict because he didn't want that. He didn't want the partying. He didn't want her to constantly do the partying or whatever the case may be. And I think that that's what created conflict
okay.
between the two.
Okay.
And so we would be fighting and arguing.
Right.
Then when I'm over my grandma's, it's totally different. And not only was I getting, not only was no fighting and arguing going on, but I was getting the love, I was getting the attention, and I enjoyed being there because I had so many other people there to, I felt like, to take care of me because all my, I was the youngest there.
Right.
I'm not, ain't no responsibility being put on me. They're all taking care of me. So I didn't have no chores. I didn't have none of that till I started getting older.
Right.
Then, you know, of course I'm put on the chore list and made to do things, but it just was, it was totally different. And then once we permanently went to go live with my grandma, I was happy again.
How many of it was it when y'all was at your grandma's?
Let's see. Me, Ebony, Jayana, Tedra, Erica, Jesse, Melissa. So I believe it was 7 and at Curling. So it was 8 of us.
So she was on her big mama shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was another mm-hmm. big mama's. You know what I'm saying? It ain't, man, I don't know what we gonna do now. There ain't no more of those. But go ahead.
And so you would think with me, my sister and my brother. I'm sorry, I didn't lift my sister and my brother out.
Okay.
So
damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you would think with all of us being under one roof, that it would have been chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. It was not chaos. Yeah, we you know, growing up, we had our arguments or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But see, when my sister turned 7, she's the first one that got split up from us.
Uh-huh.
And she went to another family member. And I couldn't understand why my sister was being taken away from me. I didn't get it.
Right.
I'm like, okay. Because my mom never set us down and said,
this is what's going on.
This is what's about to happen.
Okay.
There was never a conversation. And I felt like my sister just got ripped away from me.
Mm.
Because I was the oldest. So when I looked at her, it's kind of like she was like my child a little bit.
Right.
Or like, I guess I was put in a role, a position, as being a bigger sister to help take care of my siblings, you know. And it made me feel like she just got ripped away from us. And I had no understanding why.
Man, that shit was crazy.
And so that left just me and my brother. And it's like everybody just started leaving.
Getting older and leaving.
Everybody was fading away. Yeah, like everybody at this point, and Cron's gone. She lives in Columbus. Tedra and Ebony and Jayana, they're all gone. Erica's gone. You know, she's with her mom. They done moved out. At this point, Jesse and Melissa, their moms done gotten them back. They're gone. And it left me and my brother. Me and him.
Wow.
My sister.
Right.
She's
right,
gone.
Right.
It left me and him. I'm gonna back up a little bit. Everybody else is gone. I'm backing up to where it was only me, my sister, and my brother left.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, my grandmother had moved out of the big house and left it to my mom. So it's my mom, me, my sister, my brother. Everybody else is gone. My grandma downsized.
Okay.
Went and got a 2-bedroom apartment. everybody's gone. So this house that we were all raised in, everybody's gone at this point. And it's just my mom, me, my brother, my sister left. And I remember having my grandma talking to us and saying, y'all are getting ready to have some rough times.
Damn.
And we did not understand what she meant by what she was saying.
Right.
She did not understand. And she said, I'm just trying to tell y'all are getting ready to have some rough times. And we never knew the hell that we was getting ready to endure.
Damn, that's
we never
deep.
Knew it.
That's deep right there.
We didn't know that the lights were going to be cut off. We was no longer going to have lights. We didn't know we was no longer going to have gas.
Mm.
At a point in time, we didn't know we was not going to have water. And it took me from literally the baby of the household that all my older cousins is taking care of me and all of that, and they put me straight into the big sister role 1,000 times over.
Right.
So I knew how to cook because I was always in it. My grandma taught us how to cook.
Right.
So I remember this one time that we were so hungry because there was no food. And I looked in the freezer and I didn't even know what the meat was. I just knew it was a big thing of meat.
What was it, a roast?
And yeah, it ended up being a roast.
Okay.
And I unthawed it, cleaned it, seasoned it real good, and put it in the oven and put vegetables around it. And it ended up being a beef roast. And that was my first time really cooking.
Right.
And for me to be that young cooking the damn beef roast.
That's what's up.
Was hungry. I'm like, I have to do something.
Yeah.
I'm the big sister. These are my siblings. We're in here hungry. And they're looking to me to make something happen, to create some kind of miracle in here.
Right.
So, yeah, that was my first time cooking, and it was a roast. And I just felt like, you know, you got to kick it into high gear at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I recall me combing my sister's hair. I didn't know nothing about combing no hair, but I did. And I would walk my sister to school. And then I would get her dressed, all that, do her hair, walk her to school, and then I had to take myself to school.
Right.
And it's so crazy because nobody in our neighborhood, nothing even knew this stuff was happening to us.
Damn.
They never even knew this was going on at all. And it was insane. It was insane. It truly was insane. And there's days where, times where we wouldn't see our mom for 3-4 days at a time.
I remember those days.
Yeah. We wouldn't see her. Then she'll pop up. She'll bring us lunch meat, chips, you know, loaves of bread, gallons of juice. And we would be so happy. Because we was hungry.
Right.
You know, we would be so happy to get a meal. And then she's back out, you know, partying with her friends, doing whatever. And this remained this way for a while until they said that they were going to condemn the house because we didn't have no lights, we didn't have no gas, and then we didn't have no water.
Damn. So what did y'all do every day? What was a typical day?
It was, we went to school and everything. We were still functioning as this stuff wasn't happening. And I don't know in my head why I didn't tell nobody. Like, I still don't know to this day, Amber, why you just didn't tell that this was going on and that this was y'all's living condition or whatever the case may be. You know, I never told.
But you know what they would have did to y'all, though? They would have put y'all into the system.
I know that now, but see, I mean, I don't know if I was thinking that then or, right. or what I was going through, what I, you know, was thinking about, but all that kept replaying in my head is that my grandma said, y'all, the conversation she had with us,
yeah, and it got that's real. That's what's deep about this shit, like, damn.
Yeah, it really did get real, you
so
know?
What was your grandma doing all this?
She had moved, but my thing is that at that point in time is when my grandma very first start getting sick, okay. real sick.
Okay.
And in my mind, when I would go over to my grandma's house, you know, of course she's going to feed us, she's going to do all of that, but I felt like grandma's done raised all these kids.
Right, I'm not going
to. I'm not going to do this. Yeah, I'm right, not going, because she done already been there for us our whole life. Like, you know, up to that point, she's done raised all these kids. Now all this stuff's going on. She's done had to have multiple surgeries, multiple heart surgeries, this going on, heart attacks. I mean, just so much that I felt like I'm not going to do this to my grandma.
Right.
You know? And we ended up, once the house had got boarded up, yeah, we ended up moving with one of my mom's friends. And I thought it was hell when we lived there. I just had no clue that we was really walking into the pits of hell. I had no clue. Because it's like, she gave us a place to stay. Me, my brother, my mom. A place to stay. But she ran her household so totally different.
Right.
And she treated her kids a certain way and then treated us different.
Right.
And her and my mom would go out. You know, of course, they was working, but they was constantly out partying. And, you know, her sons always would have all their friends over, and they would gamble and doing whatever they was doing. And one night, they decided that they were going to try to rape me.
Mm.
Only God knows why. And they pinned me down. And there was so many of them, I could not move. Like, you know, you feel like you're so powerful until that is stripped away from you.
Right.
When you are laying flat on your back and there's so many people on, like, putting their body weight on you, having your arms pinned down, you can't get up. You could think you as strong as whatever you want to think until it's all these people's body weight on top of you.
Right.
And I couldn't get them off. I could not get them off. And the only thing I was thinking in my mind, I was so scared out my freaking mind. And I kept thinking, they're really getting ready to rape me. Like, this is really happening. Like,
right, yeah. I know you was like, man, what the fuck?
And so I kept saying, you know, tell them to get off of me. Tell them I was going to tell, you know. And I just felt so helpless in that moment because my mom knew it was God knows where. Like, and so one of them spoke up. There was one that wasn't participating in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke up and told him, you know, I'm going to tell. Get off of her. You know, he actually did make him get off of me. And if it wasn't for him speaking up And because he could have just let them have their own, you know.
Sometimes niggas is like that. They just be like, fuck it.
Yeah, he could have went ahead and just let them do whatever they was going to do. But they actually did listen to him, and they actually did, you know, all of them got off of me. And then they wanted to say, oh, we was just playing. No, y'all was not just playing.
Yeah, you tripping, nigga. That's not even the way you play. Fuck these niggas at me.
Man, yeah, I mean, it was rough.
Man. Yeah, I've been.
It really was. It was.
And I was here.
It was rough.
And I was here in the field.
Yes, this was here in Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see, my brother wasn't there because, see, he ended up getting to go with his dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother wasn't there at the time because he was, you know, he had went to go be with his dad. And then,
what the hell would possess them to leave you with all these niggas? Man. And y'all ain't blood or nothing? Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, so, like I said, my brother, he ended up being, he lived there with us for a while, but then his, like I said, his dad ended up getting him permanently.
Right.
And it left me. Can you imagine how I felt?
I know.
My sister's gone. Now my brother's gone. And it left me. And I remember my Aunt Carolyn said, you want to come with me for the summer? And stay the summer with me? I was so freaking happy. I was so freaking happy because I felt like finally I get to get away from all this stuff that I've been through, you know. And at that time, I feel like I felt like I was really damaged at that point because I had been through so much. It, you know, backing up to when we was staying at the house, my mom never taught me certain things that you're supposed to teach your daughter.
Right.
I didn't have no guidance. Everybody's gone. I don't have no guidance at this point. So everything I had learned up to that point, it's just like it cut off. So it was so embarrassing. I can clearly remember this. We was outside playing tag. And one of my friend's moms called me in the house. And when she's no longer with us, rest in peace, Mrs. Kelly. And she said, you've started your menstrual. And I looked at her, and I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I'm like, well, what is that? And she said, your mom didn't tell you about your menstrual cycle? And I said, no, ma'am. And she explained it to me. And that woman actually, you know, she said, take those clothes and stuff off. Right. And I went in her bathroom and got cleaned up and everything. And she showed me, this is what a pad is. This is how you put the pad on. This wasn't even my mom showing me this.
Right.
You know, that's crucial.
Yeah. It is.
That is really crucial. And I'm running around not even knowing I'm bleeding. Didn't even know I had blood on me at all. I'm just running around playing freeze tag outside. And yeah, that's how I found out what my menstrual was and all of that.
From
Mrs. Kelly. I can't remember. I was young.
By like 14 or something?
No, I was younger than that.
Damn.
Yeah, we running around playing freeze tag. I didn't even have no clue what was even going on.
Right.
And so it was just so much. It was just so much. And it's like I never understood why I was the one that I think I don't know. I had it really hard. I had it really hard, and I just never understood why.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing nothing. Like, and it's like, when anything would get done, or say, because me and my brother, we would be into it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We would fight and argue a lot. And it always ended up being on me. And my mom literally would smack me in my face. Punch me. For what? And wouldn't do nothing to him.
Damn. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. They, my sister and brother, they'll tell. I mean, they could say it, you know. Yes, mom used to smack, punch, all of that. Like, and I never understood why everything gets put on me. Like, why am I the one always getting a whooping? Why, you know, yeah, they got whooping sometimes, but it was very few.
Right.
So can you understand why I'm like, I want to be with my grandma.
Right.
Like, that's all I wanted to do is be with her, because I'm not getting whoopings for no reason. I'm not getting smacked in my face for no reason or punched for no reason. So, I want to say, you know, it was pure divine hell. It was pure divine hell for me. And I think that's what made me feel like that I had to fight. That's what made me feel like I had to fight people.
Right.
Because it's like when I'm already dealing with what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe all the fights that I got into could have probably been resolved a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so much anger built up because I'm having to deal with so much in my regular life.
Right.
That when somebody would come messing with me, I'm ready to fight them. Like, I couldn't see nothing else. You're going to have to fight this person. Because it's like, it was something in me that made me feel like I had to defend myself constantly. And maybe because I was dealing with so much. And that's why they say you're supposed to just leave people alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what they're dealing with.
Yeah, you're right about that.
It's not like, and I never started with nothing with nobody else. I never went looking for problems or looking for trouble. It seemed to always come my way.
Right.
And it made me develop a very, very hard exterior. So when something came my way, I'm ready to bang.
Right.
It ain't going to be no, I'm about to go tell, or I'm telling, or whatever, or this is just going to be an argument and we're going to walk away. It didn't end up being like that. I felt like when somebody came and they was messing with me, it's wartime.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it made me feel.
Yeah.
From everything that I was going through.
Right.
You know? And getting suspended. I had been suspended a few times. And I felt like I didn't care. You're not going to be able to find my mom.
Right, like, yeah.
It's not like you're going to hop on the phone and call my mom and then whatever. You're not going to even be able to get in touch with her. So if I'm suspended, just go ahead and send me home. Because you're not going to get my mom on the line. Or you're going to end up calling my grandma. And I don't want you to bug her with it because she's sick. So just give me my suspension papers and I'm going on home. Half the time my mom didn't even know I was suspended. Because she wasn't home anyway.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'll do my suspension and go on back to school.
Like it never happened. That's wild.
But yeah, so anyway, fast forward to that summer when my aunt got me. I was in eighth grade and it was time for summer vacation. And she asked me, do you want to come for the summer? And I told her, yeah, I was so excited.
Right.
And I went for the summer. And I was coming back down to Springfield, though, to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I ended up getting pregnant.
Coming back down.
Coming back down here for the summer, you know, on the weekends and stuff. And I end up getting pregnant. And for a while, I didn't even know I was pregnant. Because I didn't really know my body at the time. I'm 16 years old.
Right.
At this point. I didn't really know my body and stuff. And then I'm like, well, dang. Our period ain't came in a minute. So that's why I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, something's going on. Still not even thinking I'm pregnant. Because I'm so young. So I'm not, oh, I'm just magically know I'm pregnant. I wasn't throwing up. I wasn't getting sick. None of that stuff was going on. So one day, Aunt Krillin said, you ain't had no menstrual in a while. I'm going to make you a doctor's appointment, is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at this point, she had already asked me, did I just want to live there with her and not come back to Springfield?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, yeah, I didn't want to come back to Springfield. So, she made me a doctor's appointment. And the doctor, you know, they done took a urine sample and all that. And they came back in there and said I was pregnant. So, we're sitting there. I'm crying. She's crying. It was just a whole emotional thing, you know. Whoa. Because all I could think was, now, what in the world am I going to do?
Right.
As young as I am, you know. And they end up scheduling for a ultrasound. And it just, babe, it blew me away that I wasn't freshly pregnant. I was 5 months.
Damn. It was 5 months?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I was 5 months. They said, you want to know what you having? I'm like, already? They're like, yeah, you're 5 months. I'm like, wow. And there it was. They showed him. He was moving all around and everything. And they was like, yeah, it's a boy.
Mm.
And we was like, wow. When I say my stomach didn't even really get that big. Like, I was young, you know what I'm saying? My stomach didn't really get that big at all with Jahlil. And, I mean, when I came back to Springfield, I didn't have him at this point. He was born.
Mm.
And I came back here and all my friends just was like, what in the world?
Right, I know they were.
Like, of course, Chastity knew, like, the close people knew.
Right.
But the rest of them didn't. And they seen, I called them and stuff, and I'm like, I'm at my grandma's. And they was like, are we allowed to come over? And I'm like, yeah. And they came, and they just was like, oh, you got a baby? Like, I mean, it was a wow factor.
Yeah.
You know, it really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was nothing but pure love. But I feel like the day I had my son, that's when I knew what real love was about. I knew it. Like, I felt it. Like, when they put him in my arms and I just was like, this is what true love feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. It felt like the happiness that I've been yearning for, that I've been missing, that I've been wanting so bad, that I got it. I felt like I had it at that point. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm a mom. Like,
right.
You know, despite what everybody was saying, oh, she's going to keep having them. And you know how people talk all the hearsay. She's not going to graduate school and, you know, look at how young she is. It, babe, it was like I was an instant mother. I went straight into mommy mode. Like, of course, you know, I'm going to need help with certain things. Of course I'm going to need help with certain things because I'm a young mom. But for the most part, I had it down pat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had it down pat. Like, and I felt like when I had him, there's nothing in this world that I would not do for this precious baby. Like,
right.
You know, he's a gift from God. That's how I felt, you know, and all the loneliness that I felt, all the times where I was unhappy and felt unloved. I knew my son's going to love me. He's going to love me. I'm going to be a good mom. I'm never going to leave his side. I'm never going to neglect my son because I know what I've been through.
Right.
I know what the feeling is to feel unloved, to feel abandoned, to feel abused, to feel like I didn't, like, don't nobody care about me, don't nobody love me. I knew that my son is going to love me regardless. He's going to care about me. I'm going to love him. And we developed a bond that I can't really explain to nobody,
right.
You know, because it's like a lot of young people have babies and they have them for other people to raise.
Uh-huh.
They got a mom or a grandma or whoever that basically takes on that role as being the parent to that baby because they are so young having kids.
Right.
That didn't happen with me. I was a actual real mother to Jahlil. And we basically grew up together.
Right.
Because I was so young when I had him and I never felt like this is a mistake or I wish this wouldn't have happened or I never felt none of that. I just fell in love with him when he was born.
Right.
Like instant. But what I did know was is that I told myself, Amber, you're not going to have any more kids until it's time. It's really it's time.
Right, yeah.
You're not going to have no more. And that's why a lot of people, through the years, is there something wrong with you? You know, did the doctor say you can't have no more? I mean, people that ask me some of the craziest stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm just fine. I'm just not ready to have no more kids. It's not my time yet. Y'all got to realize I became a parent at the age of 16 years old. So, you know, a lot of my teenage years, all of that was spent being a mother, you know. So, but I don't regret it. Not one bit. He pushed me. I'm telling you, like, having him, it made me look at life in a whole new way.
Yeah,
it made
me
change my ways around. Like, it really did. It made me feel like, you know, now I have somebody that's dependent on me. He's looking up to me. And I got to get out here and I got to get it done for him, period. And that's why, you know, I pushed every day to go to school, you know, living with Aunt Carolyn was rough, you know. It was good, but it was rough because she showed me how to be a real woman.
Mm-hmm.
She showed me how to be a real woman. I had to get up every morning, get me ready, get Jahlil ready. Get us out to the bus, you know. And Krillin worked at a whole different direction, so I couldn't get no ride.
Right.
So I had to get me ready, get Jahlil ready. And if I'm pushing him in the stroller, I got to pack his diaper bag and all that, put him in the stroller, go to the bus stop, wait on the bus. Then, you know, if there's somebody that's kind enough to help us up onto the bus because I got a big old stroller,
mm-hmm.
they would. But there's some people that would sit there and look at
me. Yeah.
So I had to put me and Jahlil in this big old stroller on the bus, go downtown, catch another bus, then get off, take Jahlil to daycare, then come back outside and wait on another bus just to go to school every day. I had to do this 5 days a week.
Damn. Shit, you got that shit done, though.
And then as soon as school lets out, I got to hurry up, jump on the bus, go down to the daycare center, get Jahlil, walk him over to my aunt's house for her to keep him for me to go to work, put my work clothes on real quick while I'm there, and then shoot back out to the bus stop and jump on the bus to go to my job.
Damn.
Every day. So, yeah, it definitely made me a hell of a woman. I'll tell you, it did. It really did.
Salutes to you.
Thank you,
what's up, baby.
Yep, I graduated on time, you know, with honors. Had a full-time job. And then, after I graduated, I had my first apartment. because I had applied for an apartment. So to do all of this stuff and be a mother and, you know, get my first place when I'm just a fresh 18 years old, I'm telling you, it took a lot, but I made it.
Yeah, and you went through a lot making it, and man, that was a good one.
Yeah, because just think about it. I could have been lost to so many other things along the way, especially not having the proper parenting skills that I should have had and the proper guidance.
Right.
I could have been out here on drugs, anything.
All kind of shit, yeah.
An alcoholic.
All kind of shit.
Man.
So for you to, you know, not take that route and really, you know what I'm saying, buckle down and do what you were supposed to do, especially when a lot of times you had to do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not giving up. You know, that take a strong motherfucker life, for real. So,
probably. Yeah, because I mean, I admit, you know, there was some times where I was like, you know what, I'm done. Right. I can't. I look outside, it'd be raining, pouring down.
And you gotta go out there and that shit, man.
I gotta pack Jahlil up and take him out in this rain. How am I gonna get this done? That's how, you know, I broke down crying a few times. You know, you get frustrated, you get emotional, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I had to do it.
Right.
I had to do it and I had to push through.
That's what's up though, man.
Yep, I had to push through. And a lot of people, they don't, you know, I don't think it's the stuff people have said over the years is out of being spiteful or trying to be funny, but they always, you know, oh, you just always, you know, keep Jahlil so close to you and you treat him like a baby and you always this, you know, you always spoiled him. And but what they don't understand is me and Jahlil got a story to tell.
Right.
We have a story to tell. Jahlil has been with me through this stuff since the age 16 years old.
Since the age of you being 16.
Yeah, right. Since the age of right. So, yeah, we done, I'm telling you, we done endured a lot. We done endured losing everything we own.
Right.
Starting all over again from square one with just me and him. That's it. And it's always been us against the world. That's how it's always been. And I always looked at him and told him, I said, son, I promise you that I'm going to do everything in my power to be a good mom, to always be a good mom, to steer you in the right direction, and to instill in him that he is going to be a good young man. Mm-hmm. And he is.
Yeah,
and I did just that.
Yeah, you did a great job. Well, we did a great job.
Yep. I did. This thing called life, I done fought my ass off to be here and for the outcome to be what it is with Jahlil, because I mean, with everything we've endured, losing our grandparents that meant everything to us, you know,
right.
One in 2006. And then here it was, we was burying grandpa in 2007. Literally, I think they passed away, I think 6 months apart, 6 or 7 months apart. Mm-hmm. And that was devastating. That was devastating. We didn't have so many hard blows hit us, and we kept right on going. Mm-hmm. We kept right on going with the grace of God. He kept it going. He kept us going, even when I felt like I was losing it. He kept us going. So, yeah, I done been through a lot.
Well, look at you now, baby. Look Shut at up, you man. Now. Now, yeah. we gonna go ahead and leave it at that, though. Hope anybody out there that's listening, hope somebody can get something out of this, because this was definitely a good one. You said things I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? I know you done told me clips of things that you done been through, but, you know, just to get it all in one story form like that, it's a lot of stuff in there. Well, not a lot, but there was certain things in there that I didn't know about. So, yeah, that's what's up, but everybody, once again, thank y'all for listening. There's another episode of Let's Talk About It. It's your boy, Knowledge God.
And this is Queen.
I'm about to say, babe, why are you going to
say? Hey, no, because I'm sitting up looking at you.
All right. And we'll holler at y'all. We will see y'all soon, because next time it'll be on TV, baby.
Yes, it will. I'm going to get my hair done, y'all.
Yeah, soon. Peace.
The Cameron Experience.
Let's Talk About It was produced by none other than your boy, Frederick Cameron. Executive produced by Amber Cameron, engineered by Frederick Cameron, and recorded in the King's Dungeon, somewhere in Ohio. This is an official Cameron Experience Network. Yeah.